This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Radio.com Sports presents Big Time Baseball with MLB insider John Heyman and former major leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr.
All right, I'd like to introduce our guest today, Eric Neander, the general manager of the Tampa Bay Rays. This is Big Time Baseball, and he is a big-time player in Major League Baseball. You know, he may not be as famous as a lot of the other general managers, but it's hard to name someone who's done a better job than Eric Neander. I can remember Andrew Friedman speaking so highly of him a long time ago, many years ago, and you know, he was elevated after Andrew left, and I'm sure they're quite thrilled. And you won, what, 40 games this year with the Tampa Bay Rays? Well, what was your payroll? Was it? It was about $70 million, wasn't it?
Yeah, our players won 40 games. I just sat on the couch and watched them.
Well, good for you. I hope this question doesn't sound condescending, but what are the tricks? I mean, for $70 million payroll, I would think it would be hard to win 20 games, much less two-thirds of your games, and to get through two rounds. Now, right now, you have a 1-0 lead. You never know how the playoff series are going to turn out, but you're sitting in fantastic position without a lot of big-name players and certainly without big salaries. You did sign Charlie Morton a $15 million a year pay, and that has worked out nicely for you, but generally, you've done it with drafting, developing, and making trades. But what do you think the key has been to outperform in many people's eyes?
That's a great question. We don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about our payroll and thinking about the financial part of things. It doesn't really do anything to help us get better. So I think for us in our circumstances, you know, it's there's a strong focus on building trust across our staff, leaning on our staff, empowering our staff, and making sure that the, you know, the few hundred people we have within baseball operations are fully activated and have ways to contribute and are comfortable throwing their thoughts out there, which in an industry like this that can turn over so often so frequently, it tends to, you know, lend itself to stifling thought and stifling people from speaking up and sharing what they think. And I think just trying to create a culture where people feel comfortable speaking up with whatever they think, and nothing stays bottled up by any means. And, you know, a lot of collaboration across departments, a lot of people that are all contributing, you know, in their own unique small way to make something special. And this season certainly is, it's got the fingerprints of our staff in every area all over it, and not just our current group, but to build a team that is of this caliber. You know, this is the work of many years of all the things that you just touched on. You know, think about when Blake Snell was drafted, you know, last night's starter. It's been a long time. A lot of people have had a say in that, and ultimately it's on the players to come through and play the games, and really proud of this group.
Eric, you mentioned not really – it's not beneficial to sit and look at your payroll because, as you said, it doesn't help you guys get any better. But when you look across, you know, to Los Angeles and you see a guy like Andrew Friedman, who you've spent lots of hours with the things you guys have been able to do despite the pay not having the type of, does it make you a little bit envious? Like, man, what could we do if we had this kind of resources?
Yeah, I talked to Andrew enough to know that It's each situation has its own stresses, right? Like, we're not. No, I think we know who we are and how we have to operate, and you know where we need to look to find talent, to develop talent, and truly, you know, it's I think you only have so much energy and effort you can put into every day, and just making sure that we do everything I can for that effort to be used efficiently and properly and focused on things that actually can make a difference.
You know, you're not focused on the payroll, but I just looked it up and it only confused me. It says 28.6 million. That must be the fact that we're in a pandemic and they only got paid 37.5% of the money. So your payroll, my rudimentary math says it was a little bit less than somewhere around the 70 million something pay. So that's not very much. But I wanted to ask, since you don't focus on it or even discuss it, sure. I want to focus on a couple of those players that you brought in. That were not big names at the time and certainly have made their mark in this postseason, and that's Brosseau, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and Rosarena, who came from the Cardinals. Brosseau was, I believe, a walk-on in college and didn't go to a big-time school and was not drafted. And obviously at that home run against Chapman, that was the most memorable, most indelible image of this postseason to date. And Rosarena has been the star of this postseason with all the home runs that he hit. He didn't hit many in St. Louis, but I don't know. Did you see something in a Rosarena? And tell us about those two players.
Yeah, go in reverse order of how you brought him up there. Rosarena is someone that we'd followed for some time and you know, athletic outfielder that you know, developing instincts and feel for the game through reps. But offensively, just a guy that we saw continue to make progress and not necessarily anything attached to, you know, a mechanical tweak or an adjustment, but just someone that we saw continue to improve their ability to make contact, even as the levels increased and while doing that, continue to improve his ability to impact the baseball. And really think it was something just with a premium athlete, just getting baseball reps and continuing to make the most of them. So candidly, you know, what he's done on this run here is above and beyond anything that we reasonably could have expected him to do, but we're more than happy to enjoy the ride here and just see where it takes him and see where it takes us. And then on Brosseau, you know, it just an incredible story that you know, from James Benici, our area scout, to a few of our people in the office that helped to just put some guys out there for after the draft follows and signs and the like. And you know, you really have to know those post-draft signs. You know, it's all about character. These are guys that you're not counting on to reach the big leagues. You're counting on them to fill out clubs, to be versatile and to be excellent teammates. And he checked those boxes early, but we quickly realized we had a guy that could hit and had some physical ability too. And kudos to our player development staff for, you know, this is a guy that they banged on the door for him for an awfully long time. And frankly, I don't know, you know, if we truly considered him a prospect until probably two camps ago. He came into camp, major league camp, his first time and turned some heads. And then last year, what he did in Durham in 2019, you know, really took off. And the pounding of the table from our player development group just continued to grow. And we gave him a shot and certainly glad that we did. And we're lucky to have him. And what a moment for him.
Guys are up 1-0 in the series currently against the Astros. What do you think makes this team different than maybe some of the Rays teams of the past?
I don't know necessarily to compare them to the past. I think there's a few things that certainly serve benefit. A lot of the players we have right now, not all of them, but a lot of them had the experience of last year's run, you know, from winning 96 games to the wild card game to that series with Houston and going to game five. And, you know, that just such a beneficial experience for a young group. And I think all that they gained through that was certainly beneficial. And they've played a lot of tight games, you know, this group over the last few years. Played a lot of tight games, and they're not, you know, Charlie Morton's a veteran. We got a few guys that are relatively veteran, but still a pretty young club. But to get those types of experiences so early in their career, I think, you know, really stood to to benefit them. And, you know, I think, you know, our clubs tend to have been over time, they're deep, you know, it's an all hands on deck type mentality. Very rarely do we have top heavy rosters. You know, I think just since Kevin Cash has been here in 2015 and, you know, as he's gained more reps underneath him, the culture he's built, the selflessness he's built within our group, that more than, you know, even just the pure talent, I think is as much a reason as we are where we are. You know, we often talk about how hard it is for guys to not have solidified roles. It's hard enough to be a major league player, to contribute a major league player. And these guys are doing it. While being more than ready to go for any moment at any time when they're called upon. And can't speak highly enough of Kevin's work to get us in that position and for our players to buy in to be able to pull that off. This game's not easy, and that only makes it harder if you let it. And these guys are all in on it. And I think that probably is a distinguishing factor of or attribute of this group.
Speaking of that culture, and we don't see 95% of the work that goes on there, but we did see your team at the end in game five against the Yankees and how they were into it. And even some Yankee people commented to me how your team really seemed into it. Obviously, beating the Yankees is a big deal for Tampa. There's a rivalry going on there. Tell us what that watching that game was like for you and for the team. They did seem excited throughout the game, but then they seemed particularly excited after the game. Now, your team also has done a very good job, as I think all the American League teams did, with the COVID situation, and you're in a bubble now, so maybe the rules have changed, but that team picture, it looked a little close to me. I don't know. Did you notice that? Or are we in a bubble now and the rules are different?
Yeah, no, we've still got to do a good job with our protocols, and our guys have been great by and large, but I tell you, when you're in a moment like that, I'm guilty of this. Anybody, there's not a whole lot you're thinking about. You're just love, you know, you're just enjoying it. And the way that game happened, you know, and that the Yankees are an incredible team, and to have a game like that, to win a game like that. And, you know, there's some validation that goes with it. And hope that the perception of our club and our players is not that they're small market good. It's that they're major league good, you know, and a moment like that certainly helps to validate it. And Bross, and you know, the moment of how we took that game and the all hands on deck approach, there was a lot that was let out there, and it was a blast that evening and to win a game like that. But in saying that, you got to turn the page in a hurry, and we play five tenth games. We get one day off after a night of letting it rip a little bit and celebrate, and here we go for the possibility of up to seven straight. So back to it.
Yeah, Eric, you guys have such a unique roster when you watch your team play. I mean, they have a little bit of everything. When you guys are making this, putting together a roster, what type of player are you looking for? Is there a prototypical Tampa Bay Ray?
No, and it's sometimes, you know, maybe that makes it harder, but I think it's just, you can't, this is where the market part, the revenue, the you know, not having as much revenue as some of the teams we're competing against, you know, where you can't be picky. You know, you have to appreciate the strengths that you can see and identify in any player, and then from there it's a matter of, you know, how they fit together, how they complement the rest of the group, how you think they'd respond to coaching and further development. And, you know, we go about it that way. But the net that, you know, that we cast to start is awfully wide. You know, we know financially the ones where we don't need to spend any time on. But other than that, we just have to do everything that we can when, you know, the players that pop up and kind of wonder across baseball, like, hey, where'd he come from? How'd they get him? You know, we got to be on our game when it comes to being on the top of those players before they have those moments. And our staff's done a wonderful job of getting enough of them together.
Yeah, you know, you guys were ahead of the curve on a lot of different things, particularly the shift. And I saw this year you didn't shift as much as most teams. But one thing I did see occasionally was a four-man outfield. I don't know if other teams are doing this at all. I noticed it with your team. How do you decide? Is it based on the hitter alone? Is the pitcher part of that equation? I think Bregman was up yesterday. Yeah. When you did the four-man outfield. Is this going to be something that is implemented a lot more in the future, you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, we try, much like, you know, to Tony's question, our players, and, you know, what we, you know, we have type. We just try to learn through, you know, our trials and our experiences, and we test our thoughts and we adjust. And I think, you know, how we manage our defense is no different. And we have to continue to grow. If we do things the same way we did them 3, 4, 5 years ago, we're going to be behind. And when it comes to just answering your question specifically, it's hitter based, obviously, but it's certainly pitcher based as well. And we've got some power within our pitching group now. We got some guys that can ride the ball, that keep the ball in the air a little bit more. And, you know, you have to be responsive to all those factors, and to say nothing of, you know, from a pitching standpoint, and making sure the pitchers can pitch their game and how they want to attack hitters without having to worry about the alignments behind them. But, it's all of that comes into play. And, you know, that's a staff driven thing from the dugout, and do a heck of a job to get the buy-in to nobody's thought twice when they've been running out to the outfield to be that fourth guy. And that's a pretty special thing to have with this group of players.
One thing I've noticed you've been able to do, and Andrew did before, was put together a pretty good bullpen on a shoestring. I know you traded a top prospect to get Anderson, Nick Anderson. Is there some trick to getting a great bullpen with such a low payroll? Has there been an emphasis on the bullpen, you think, going back? Or what is your strategy there? Because it seems to be, looking at the two teams, you know, that's one of the advantages I think your team has right now.
Yeah, it's you appreciate a good bullpen when you have it, because it's a hard thing to do. When you think you get a good one, you wait a year and things kind of they bounce around a little bit. So, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of noise when it comes to assessing relievers, you know, and what's stable, you know, from a stuff standpoint, from an execution standpoint, from a result standpoint. And, you know, when relievers are going good, they tend to be used more, and that takes a toll on guys. So there's so many considerations. There's so much noise that comes with putting a good pen together. And, you know, I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason to it. You know, Nick Anderson's a guy that, was pretty good for Miami and found another gear with us. And, you know, another one that we weren't expecting him to go on the kind of run he's gone on with us. We just thought he'd be a really good reliever. And, it was time to give up a good player to, you know, to make that happen. But, you know, Pete Fairbanks, another one we gave up a player. You know, trust our staff, trust the work that we do, and we vet it and cross check our evaluations of players from just about every angle, and every type of perspective. And, you know, when we feel good about someone, we'll roll the dice and give them a shot. And thankfully right now we got some guys out there that are getting big outs for us that, are a byproduct of some of those decisions.
Well, your decisions have been outstanding to have a $70 million or so payroll. I know you don't speak about it, but I will. And to win 40 games and to be in the position you're in, just an incredible job. The architect of the Tampa Bay Rays, Eric Neander, general manager. We really appreciate you being with us. Thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
All right. Thanks, John. Thanks, Tony. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks. Good luck. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.